Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, the Island of Jambudvip, text number 13. Idam Yogeshwara Yoga Naipunam Hiranyagarbha Bhagavan Jagadayat Yat antakale twai nirgunamano Bhaktya dahit tojita duk dushkalevara Idam yogeshvara yogani naipunam Hiranyagarbha Bhagavan Jagadayat Hirantakale Twai Nirgune Mano Bhaktya Dadi Tojita Dushkulevara Dhammi Yogeshwara Yoga Naipunam Hiranyagarbha Bhagavan Jagadayat Hirantakale Twai Nirgune Mano Bhaktyadihi Teujala Dushkalevara Idam This He certainly, Yoga Ishvara, O my Lord, Master of all mystic power, Yoga Naipunam, the expert process of executing yogic principles, Hiranyagarbha, Lord Brahma, Bhagavan, the most powerful. Jagada, spoken. Yet, which. Yet, which. Antakale, at the time of death. Twai, in you. Nirgune, the transcendence. Manaha, the mind, bhaktya, with a devotional attitude, da-dita, one should place ujhita dushkalevara, having given up his identification with the material body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, Master of all mystic power, this is the explanation of the yogic process spoken of by Lord Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, who is self-realized. At the time of death, all yogis give up the material body with full detachment simply by placing their minds at your lotus feet. That is the perfection of yoga. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya says, Yasya samyag bhagavati jnanam bhaktis taivacha nishchintas tasya mokshayat sarva papa krito pitu. One is very serious, for one who very seriously practices devotional service during his lifetime, in order to understand the constitutional position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, liberation from this material world is guaranteed, even if he has previously been addicted to sinful habits. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Pichet sudaracharo bhajante mam ananya bhak sador eva samantavyak samyag vyavyastito hi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. Bhagavad Gita 9:30. The only purpose of life is to be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and his form, pastimes, activities, and qualities. One is able to think of Krishna in this way 24 hours a day, is already liberated, srupena vyavyastiti. Whereas materialists are absorbed in material thoughts and activities, devotees, on the contrary, are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and Krishna's activities. Therefore, they are ready on the platform of liberation. One has to think of Krishna with full absorption at the time of death. Then he will certainly return home back to Godhead without a doubt. So the text again. Idam hi yogeshvara yoga naipunam hiranyagarbha bhagavan jagadayat yadantakale tvai nirgune mano bhaktiyada di yojvala dushkalevara. O my Lord, O Master of all mystic yoga, this is the explanation of the yoga process spoken of by Lord Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, who is self-situated, self-realized. At the time of death, all yogis give up the material body with full detachment simply by placing their minds at your lotus feet. That is the perfection of yoga. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatya Devasatarana. Perfection of yoga means the goal that we're trying to achieve. At the end of the second chapter in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishati yadvat tadva kama yam pravishati sarve se shantim apnoti na kama kami. Person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into an ocean which is always being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. In other words, material entanglement is due to the souls being attached to material desires. Now, whatever material body we happen to have received, along with that material body, we receive a set of subtle desires inherited from previous lives. This particular body we receive is just an opportunity to fulfill a portion of those desires. Now, in the living entity, obviously, he's worked hard to get those desires because we've been here since time immemorial, and generally, we're quite proud of our desires. We advertise them. That's, I think, what Facebook is all about. You can tell everyone what your desires are. Wow, you got nice, such great desires. But actually, these material desires are the reason why we're entangled in material existence. due to our false ego of identifying ourselves with this gross and subtle body. Therefore, in our mind, the false ego desires to lord it over the material nature. And because of that, because of our attachment to these material desires, we're creating another body. And at the time of death, the attachments that we have to our material desires that have produced certain activities remind us of those desires and activities at the time of death, and they'll bring us to our next body. Therefore, detachment is necessary from material desires. But simply by trying to become detached from material desires won't be very effective, because the living entity by nature needs attachment, is by nature attached. But the question is, what the soul is going to be attached to? Is he going to be attached to Krishna, or is he going to be attached to the material energy, beginning with his gross and subtle material body, and then extending to the family, the society, humanity, all living entities? The soul has to become attached to something, but what to be attached to? Now, the material nature means vihaya kama yat sarvam pumam sharati nispriha nirmamo nirahankara shashantim adigachiti. Material attachment means kama, gratifying the senses. The senses want so many objects to fulfill their demands. And even if we don't have any demands from the senses, the mind can concoct so many desires. People spend their time trying to figure out how they can concoct some desire. What's the newest feature they need on the iPad or the iPhone? People survived before they had an iPhone. Back in prehistoric times, when the dinosaurs used to roam the earth, people actually survived without all these new features. But because people have mental desires, therefore they create all these new features, and then people become attached to them, and they think they actually need it. They've done studies that if you have your smartphone next to you on the desk, then you become stupider. The smartphone may be very intelligent, but we're quite foolish. Therefore, it's recommended to put your phone away from the desk, and then you become more intelligent. And if it's in your pocket, then increases one's stupidity. And what to speak of when you turn it on? Whatever little intelligence was left is rapidly dissipated. Therefore, this desiring to fulfill desires and then creating desires to fulfill, just like there's only so much we can eat. The stomach is only two sides the size of, if you take one fist and you take another fist, that's the size of the stomach. So you can only eat that much food, because devotees are transcendental. Their stomachs are not part of the material world. They have expanded into infinity. But normal people who are not so transcendental, they can only hold so much food in their stomach, and therefore, or they can only sleep 24 hours a day. There's a limit to how much we can gratify the senses. But the mind, there's no limit. We can build, we can see the movies, they just create fantasies out of nothing, and people actually become attached to it. I was told that people watch this movie called Avatar. And in the Avatar movie, there are many beautiful scenes, reminiscent probably of the heavenly planets. And after watching the movie, people became depressed because they weren't living in such a nice place. So they would have been happier if they didn't see the movie. They wouldn't have had something to become depressed about. So this is all concoctions of the mind. And nirmamo, nirahankara. Nirmamo, nothing is mine. Actually, nothing is mine. Even this body, we may claim it as ourselves or as mine, but ultimately, we can't even stop the body from changing. If we're actually in control of the body, in order to claim something to be yours, you must be able to control it. If I say someone is my wife, but she doesn't live with me, I never see her, she just does whatever she wants, then in what way is she my wife? Or if my husband never comes home, in what way is it my husband? Or if the disciple doesn't follow any instruction, you say black and he says white, you say sit and he jumps up. How can it be your disciple? Or if you say, I've trained my dog, and the same thing, you say, bark, and he goes, and you say, don't bark, and he goes, you haven't trained your dog very well. So similarly, since we can't control the body, we can say, don't grow older, but it grows older anyhow. We say, don't sneeze, but it sneezes anyhow. How much are we actually in control of the body? How much do even our desires actually manifest themselves as physical activities? Therefore, we can't control the body. How can we control anything else in the material world? Aranyakashipu, he put up his arms and stood on the tips of his toes for 120 years without eating or sleeping or even breathing, because he wanted to become immortal. Because he figured, if I'm going to control the universe, the first thing I have to do is control death. If I'm going to die, how can I say I'm in control of anything? I can't even control my own death, so how am I controlling the universe? He tried very sincerely, going through an austerity beyond our imagination. We're not going to stand for 2 minutes on the tip of our toes. And if it's before prasadam, we won't be able to avoid eating in the next 2 minutes either. So what austerity are we going to do to avoid death? What are we doing that's going to ensure us that we're going to be in this body forever? Therefore, nothing is really ours because nothing is controlled by us. We can try and control our mind by fixing it on Krishna, or stopping its thoughts, or becoming aloof from it, or whatever. But ultimately, unless we become fully Krishna conscious, even our minds we can't control. We're subjected to ignorance. Just like we see in class, people become very relaxed, and their eyes close, and they enter into never-never land. Where all this philosophy just floats away. And in the mode of passion, we're working hard to accomplish whatever we want to get. Often we want to get married, and then when we get married, we want to get divorced. Find another one, a better one. And therefore people are switching partners, just like they switch beer brands. So, if we can't control the material world, then what part of it is actually belonging to us? And nirahankara. If we're misidentifying ourselves with this body, we're certainly in ignorance. We certainly don't know what's going on. We're simply bewildered by illusion. So one has to become free from this ahankara, which is following us around, just like a faithful dog follows its master. One moment we're Krishna's servant, the next moment I'm convinced I'm this body. If we're not striving hard to remember we're Krishna's servant, or the servant of Krishna's servant, that would suddenly become this body. Anyone looks at us the wrong way, what? What did you do? Who did you look at? Who you're looking at anyhow? Immediately we become identified with this car. As I said before, that's called ahamkar. I am the car. Don't look at my car the wrong way. It's my car. So to become aloof from these things, of course, the easiest way is by becoming attached to Krishna and his service, without which it's practically impossible in this age to make any significant progress. And only if we become completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness is there any possibility at the time of leaving this body joining Krishna in his pastimes. If we want, Prabhupada said, even if you attach one little raisin, you'll have to come back and eat it. And most of us attach to more than one raisin, probably a date also. So, the only alternative is to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And that's the very essence of what we're trying to achieve. By hearing about Krishna, the idea is that if we hear sufficiently his name, and then hearing about his forms, seeing the deity in the temple, hearing about his qualities and activities and his associates, then gradually we'll remember these things. Just try it. Go to a movie and watch a movie, and then see how difficult it is to forget it. When you're chanting japa, instead of remembering Krishna's pastimes, you remember the movie. So, if we can become so attached to a movie, why can't we become attached to Krishna? In the same way that we hear about Krishna's pastimes, when we're chanting japa, spontaneously, without any effort, we'll remember something about Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. Smarta vyaksaratam vishnura, vismarta chatu na kinchit, sarva vidi nisedya asyora, etyara eva kinkara. That the whole thing is always remember Krishna and never forget him. Of course, we're not about to always remember Krishna and never forget him, but we have to practice so we increase our remembrance of Krishna and we decrease our forgetfulness. And the idea is that we should get a higher taste by actually associating with Krishna, because we hear he's the reservoir of all pleasure, and if we associate with pleasure, then we should feel pleasureful. For instance, on Padyatra, after, I'm sure, a few hours, our mind becomes a little pacified. And of course, we're fortunate enough, we're generally not doing Padyatra in the city, where many times the devotees start Padyatra, and they're window shopping as they go through the store, past the stores. Wow, look at that pizza. I haven't had pizza last week. Oh, that dress. Oh, that looks pretty good. I wonder what it would be like if I went in. That toy, oh, I always like trains. Hare Krishna. So, of course, we're going by trees and plants and flowers. There's not much to think about. Oh, that's my favorite tree. No. So, there's more of an opportunity to actually, after some time, to actually start hearing the holy name. And not becoming so much bewildered or deviated from whatever thought happens to fly by our mind at the moment. But if we can actually do that more steadily, then the result is our spiritual intelligence remain intact, and gradually we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That's Rupa Goswami's advice. First he says, Tanama Rupa Charitayu Sitapta Vidya, that the holy name of Krishna, his form, his quality, etc., are transcendently sweet, like sugar candy, although the tongue of one afflicted by avidya, ignorance, cannot relish anything sweet. But it is wonderful how by simply chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within one's tongue, and his disease of avidya is gradually destroyed at the root. So, the Hare Krishna mantra, when properly chanted, and when properly heard, it actually goes right to our core of our heart and tries to cut out our false ego. So it's a little painful. Oh, it feels like I'm being operated on by false ego. We don't realize how strong our false ego is. We're walking around with it as it's us since time immemorial. To actually have our false ego even touched. Oh, you touched my false ego. Oh my God. I'm calling the police. Dial 911. It's an emergency. Send the ambulance. He touched my false ego. I feel so much pain. But the Hare Krishna mantra, it actually is cutting our false ego. So it's painful. We don't want to give it up. We're so attached to it. We don't know what it's going to be like to not have a false ego. What am I going to do? What's going to happen? I'm going to realize who I am. I'm going to become 1/10,000th the size of the parent's size. Help, I'm down here. Can someone help me? Where are you? I'm right here. I'm so tiny. I can't believe it. All these atoms that keep on hitting against me. I'm having a miserable time. I'm so tiny. I'm embarrassed. Don't look at me. So it's painful, but by chanting these sweet names every day, gradually avidya will be reduced and we'll find out how wonderful it is to be a spiritual soul and to be associating with Krishna. Therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami further says, Tanama Rupa Charitadu Sukirtananu Smrityo Krameno Rasana Manasini Oja Tishtan Rajetanarag Nagun Tanaragi Jananugami Kalamnaya Akilam Itapadesha Saram. That the essence, all advice, Sri Rupa Goswami is certainly a good person to give us advice. Now here he's going to give us this essence of all the advice he can give us. If Sri Rupa Goswami is right here, right now, you say, can you give me some good advice? Well, here it is. One should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, and nicely hearing and chanting about Lord Krishna's transcendental name, his divine form, his quality, his pastimes. In this way, gradually engage the tongue and the mind. So this is what he's advising us to do. Hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember Krishna. And there's no other better advice than that. In this way, one can live in Goloka Vrindavan. In other words, if we do that, then we'll actually feel ourselves to be on the spiritual platform of Vrindavan. And one should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his divine service. So the ecstasy of the divine, of Krishna's servants, it's not that we go back to Goloka Vrindavan and we're working a 9-to-5 job. You know, washing pots in Krishna's kitchen. It's not like that. People are ecstatically and enthusiastic to engage in Krishna's service because the pleasure and the love is so intense that it's always increasing. It's getting more ecstatic, more pleasurable. Everything is tasteful. Every emotion is ecstatic, loving. It just becomes more and more wonderful. Then it's inconceivable. So, and the enthusiasm to engage in Krishna's service overflows. People can't, when the Krishna plays his flute, the gopis don't check their watch and see if it's on time. Whatever happens, they just rush out. Whatever they're doing. Even if they're breastfeeding their babies, they just put the baby down and just go to see Krishna. Sometimes they put the bottom part of their dress on the top, and the top part of their dress on the bottom. They're so ecstatic to see Krishna. So that kind of enthusiasm we don't see in this material world because there's no object that's so desirable and attractive as Krishna that drives the devotees in the spiritual world mad eternally to have Krishna's association. And Krishna is also mad to have the association of his devotees. So that's a very desirable situation. Here, we're afflicted by ignorance. Sometimes we can't even get up to go to sleep. We're so much in ignorance. We can't even get up off the chair to go to the bed to go to sleep. And sometimes we're so afflicted by passion, we'll do the craziest things. And goodness, even though goodness is relatively more peaceful, but people, after some time of being goodness, they become bored also, especially in Kali Yuga. If there's too much goodness, they think, oh, this is not exciting enough. Everyone's doing something more exciting. And therefore, they do something in passion or in ignorance to get some variety. So there's no mode of material nature that perpetually keeps one happy and enthusiastic. But in the spiritual world, in relationship to Krishna, then everyone is eternally, ever-growingly more and more enthusiastic, because the happiness is ever-growing more intense and more full of varieties. Therefore, Rupa Goswami is advising, we follow this process, come to the spiritual world, the platform of consciousness, experience what it's like, and then follow in the footsteps of those who are most ecstatic, most enthusiastic to serve Krishna. And that way, gradually, our lives will become successful. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
How does spiritual master help devotee when leaving the body? I heard some stories that some devotees, when they were leaving their body, so proud was there.
Well, that would help. But I don't know, you know. We're leaving our body. Where's my spiritual master? You rascal, you didn't come. I knew you weren't bona fide. How does he help you? Well, right now our body's leaving us. Before we leave our body keeps on leaving us. So how does he help? He gives instructions, and if we follow the instructions, then we become liberated. So whether we leave this body leaves us, or we leave the body, then we are on the spiritual platform of consciousness. That's who he helps. He brings, by the instructions he gives us, and by the example, then he helps us come to the spiritual platform ourselves, by which we're aloof from the change of this body. Otherwise, these mystical arrangements that everyone, but that's not necessarily. For one, the perfect devotee who's actually in Krishna consciousness, it's not that the spiritual master comes at the time of death. The eligible devotee to go back to the spiritual world is always with his spiritual master, because he's always following his instructions. Prabhupada said, I'm always associating with my spiritual master. He's always directing me. That depends upon our seriousness of actually following the instructions of the spiritual master. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you very much for class. I have just one question. Are there different levels of remembrance to Krishna?
Certainly. Just like Prabhupada was one time, he was presented by the artists different pictures of Krishna. And Prabhupada, they asked them, Bhargava asked them, which one most looks like Krishna? And Prabhupada said, they all look like Krishna. So they did an experiment. They got some of the stick figures from the Gurukul students of Krishna. And they said, which one looks most like Krishna? And Prabhupada said, they all look like Krishna. Here's the flute. Here's the peacock feather. So they all reminded Prabhupada of Krishna. Now, for ourselves, sometimes we may hear the holy name when we're chanting. So that's also Krishna, just listening to Krishna, because Krishna and his name are non-different. But when our minds become more absorbed, then we'll be able to remember Krishna's form also, like the forms of the deities or the pictures painting or the descriptions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then when that increases, absorption in Krishna consciousness, then we'll remember some of Krishna's qualities. Then we might remember his associates, then there are pastimes, then we can feel more and more intensely Krishna's presence along with his associates, their loving exchanges. So those are all different levels of Krishna consciousness. And the perfection is when we're actually in Krishna's pastime and we're in our spiritual body and we participate in Krishna's pastimes, even in this body. So that's quite an advanced level. Then we actually directly see Krishna and his associates. Yes?
If you have not achieved this last level,
can you come back to Krishna? Well, here's Krishna. We're back to Krishna. You mean, can we join Krishna and his Leela in some universe? Well, generally speaking, one has to come to the platform of bhava to become eligible to join Krishna in his pastimes. But that was generally the level that the devotees in Krishna Leela achieved in order to achieve him. Because after all, if our mind is deviated by material desire, why would we want to? There's a stage called the Sakti where the mind sometimes for a moment deviates, but then rapidly it comes back to Krishna consciousness again. So at that stage, just a little while, one will be on the bhava stage. Ruchi, once one comes to the platform of liberation, that is free from material concepts and aloof from material desires, then ruchi rapidly develops. The taste for Krishna consciousness develops. Everything becomes tasteful. One sees everything in relation to Krishna, and everything is just a variety of pleasure. And then the mind becomes addicted to Krishna consciousness and can't leave. And then bhava, feelings towards Krishna, develop. So generally speaking, if one reaches the level of nishta, of liberation, it's just a question of time before one comes to the platform of bhava and prema. But generally speaking, one has to come to the platform of feeling for Krishna, and then one will no longer feel for anything material concepts. It's not that one won't feel. One will feel for everything, but in relation to Krishna. Anything else? Yes?
Why does Krishna stress in the verse you were mentioning that we should be near Hamka without material desire? Why doesn't he say, desire me? Because
he had it. Bhagavad Gita has to be 700 verses or else we can't distribute it. So he left that for later. I mean, the hint of bhakti yoga is given in the second chapter. But then Arjuna said, I'm bewildered, I'm attached to my family. Then Krishna says, well, you're not your body. Think of me. That's the end of the story. I mean, Arjuna is representing ourselves. If someone comes up to you on the street and says, hey, you're not your body. Think of Krishna. And they don't accept, forget it, you're a failure. No hope for you. Wouldn't be very many people making any progress. So Krishna has to gradually introduce these concepts. That we're not this body is easier to accept the fact that we're Krishna's eternal servant. We can see so many Mayavadis will also agree with the whole idea of becoming aloof from material desire. But to introduce Krishna, Krishna does that gradually. Alright, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.